Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. We're off to a rally of the Abolish ICE New York, New Jersey Coalition to hear from migrant detainees on hunger strike and recently released former hunger strikers who were detained in Hudson County Jail and Buffalo Federal Detention Facility facing deportation. They tell their stories.
I want to welcome everyone. My name is June. I use they, them pronouns. I'm a queer and trans youth, Southeast Asian, child of refugees. We're going to do a program and a rally to call out the Biden administration and also to demand to free them all. I want everyone to gather and acknowledge that here we gather on the ancestral unceded territory of the Canarsie, Munsee, Lenape, and Rockaway people. The term Manhattan comes from the Lenape word Manhattan, meaning hilly island. As the United States promotes itself as a nation of immigrants, we remember that before the United States was Turtle Island. And indigenous people had relations with the land for over 10,000 years. And we, as abolitionists, immigrationists, organizers, understand that we are a nation of immigrant crises, that our fights of liberation go hand in hand with indigenous sovereignty and immigrant liberation. Our immigration movement as abolitionists is decolonial. For us, on stolen land, deportation does not stand.
Member Hugh Huynh was deported to Vietnam underneath the Biden administration with 32 other Vietnamese refugee immigrants. He came as a victim of U.S. imperialism, displaced by the Vietnam War. And now he is again displaced by the United States, sent back to a country he fled from. That a country he suffered trauma from on a flight, on a plane, used to deploy soldiers across the globe to displace other black and brown people. I want to acknowledge him in this space. And I want to acknowledge the hate crimes and the crimes, the violence that have happened in Atlanta. That on the night, only a day later, Asian women were being attacked in Atlanta. Immigrants, low-income workers were being murdered. The NYPD says that Asian American violence, racialized violence has increased. We understand state-sanctioned violence. The police right there are violent. They come into our neighborhoods, detain our people.
Yeah.
Hugh was a person like that. His first encounter with ICE was the New Jersey Police Department.
So vamos a hacer, se puede, and then you say, si se puede. Se puede?
Si se puede.
Se puede?
Si se puede.
Tell us who you are.
My name is Brian Vergara. I was detained in Hudson County Jail for 5 months.
And tell us about your experience there.
En el primer momento que entré a la cárcel, vi el sufrimiento del inmigrante. Vi cómo los guardias abusaban de su poder.
At that moment when I came in there, he said that there was a lot of suffering inside, that he wanted to do a change at that moment when he was inside.
Fue bastante difícil porque los casos estaban perdidos. O sea, en el primer momento, cuando el inmigrante cae detenido, es muy difícil salir de ahí. Los jueces niegan todos los casos.
When he realized that all the cases inside were just being denied, he just knew that there was no hope for the system that they could help, because they knew that in the court that everything was going to be denied and they were going to find another form to get their freedom back.
So, ahí fue en el momento que me pensé y hablé con todos los compañeros para hacer una huelga de hambre. Al principio fue difícil porque hacer una unión dentro de la cárcel, nosotros estamos reprimidos.
So at that moment I realized that I wanted to do a hunger strike with everyone, and I knew it was going to be difficult for everyone to reunite because it was a moment where it was putting ourselves at risk.
Logré comunicarme con las personas y decidimos hacer una huelga de hambre exigiendo nuestra libertad.
So I reunited with everyone, and everyone was agreed to start the hunger strike with me.
Comenzamos la huelga de hambre exigiendo nuestra libertad, ¿no? En ese momento llegaron el director de la cárcel, el señor Ronald Edwards, llegó Oscar Áviles, que fue la persona que hizo el contrato con ICE.
He had started the hunger strike, and then once it all started, the directors were coming, and their names was, again?
Ronald Edwards.
Ronald Edwards and?
Oscar Áviles.
Oscar Áviles, and they are the ones who start the contract with ICE.
So, en el momento que nosotros comenzamos la huelga, se inició una persecución por parte de los guardias. Nos llevaron a una celda de castigo.
So at that moment, they took us to basically what they say as medical attention, where that in terms is solitary confinement.
Se nos quitó todo, nuestras pertenencias, ropa, toallas, todo. Solamente quedamos con lo puesto y ni siquiera nos quisieron entregar una Biblia.
In that moment, he was inside. He had nothing. All his toiletries were taken, all his belongings, his stuff and everything. And they didn't even let him take a Bible with him.
So nosotros pidiendo nuestra liberación, no se nos escuchó, muy por el contrario, fuimos castigados. Nos pusieron en una celda que ni siquiera tenían agua, violando nuestros derechos humanos.
They violated the human rights. Inside there was no water system even turned on in that place. It was even smaller than their regular cells that they usually are in when they were detained.
Bueno, las condiciones en la cárcel son realmente precarias, o sea, no hay sistema de salud. Ellos, durante la pandemia, nos mantuvieron encerrados por 23 horas y media en una celda de 3x2.
So, in that case, there was nothing sanitary inside. There was nothing, there was no health protocols inside. That we were closed in a 2x3 cell, and basically, when we were mentally suffering, they gave us pills, but it was a way of not, like, letting our voices out, and also our brains were basically scrambled at that point.
So aside from the condition, talk about the people that are there. Who are these people? Why did they come here to begin with?
La gente que fue arrestada en el gobierno de Donald Trump, estamos hablando del 80% de los detenidos, eran personas que o tenían una falta demasiado pequeña o no tenían récord criminal.
So in the time of the Trump administration, 80% of the people were detained for things like the smallest and the smallest misdemeanors, and people who didn't even have any records at all in the system.
El único delito que vio la pasada administración fue estar ilegal en este país, o no ilegal, estar indocumentado, no tener un papel que te deje trabajar aquí. Gente que vino arrancando de sus países por un futuro mejor para ayudar a su familia.
They came here because they wanted to have a better life in this country, not just they didn't just come here to jump to here illegally. They just wanted to start a new life and have a better future for, you know, their family, for their kids. Nothing that puts them as a danger to society. In conclusion, yeah.
So with that now, what was the result of the hunger strike, and what were the specific demands of the detainees who were on hunger strike?
Las demandas de la huelga de hambre eran libertad para todos los inmigrantes. Lamentablemente, la huelga la hicimos con 60 personas. De esas 60 personas, solamente 8 recuperamos nuestra libertad.
So, as a start, the demand was to free everyone, and it started with 60 people, and only eight people were free from that conclusion.
Tampoco fue que la cárcel o ICE nos liberó, porque nosotros hicimos un proceso de Freiheit. So, en el momento de estar en huelga de hambre, nuestro cuerpo estaba débil y estábamos propensos a contagiarnos con el COVID-19. So, esa fue la presión, y personalmente a mí, Alexandra Ocasio, fue la que mandó una carta al director de ICE para pedir mi liberación.
ICE had nothing to do with anything with the liberation from their problem. It was this application called Freiheit. When somebody is mentally or physically affected through the hunger strike, because when you're in a hunger strike, your system kind of goes down, your immune system goes down, and that could put you in high risk of COVID. So when you're at high risk of COVID, you can apply for the Freiheit, and that lets you free. The Freiheit was one thing, and the other thing was this protest that we're going through right now that goes on every week. And also, one of our Congress from our section, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, was the one who sent out a letter to let Brian free. So that was one of basically all the pressure that kind of got Brian to be here right now in this moment, not ICE.
What would you say now to, we talked a little bit, Brian, about the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. What do you tell the Biden administration should be done to welcome and to protect our immigrant brothers and sisters?
La administración Biden, hemos visto un ligero cambio, el cual no es suficiente. Necesitamos, más que Biden, nosotros sabemos que él es el presidente, pero también está el Senado, y ahí es donde nosotros necesitamos líderes que estén a favor del progreso del inmigrante.
So we have seen, you know, a little bit of an impact, but it's not enough. So we need more leaders to really put more effort to this immigration freedom.
Brian, what made you come to this country?
Vengo de una familia política. En el último tiempo, mi país estaba pasando por un momento bien difícil. So decidí buscar otras fronteras, ya que yo no creo en la frontera realmente. Siento que cualquier ser humano puede llegar a cualquier otra nación y hacer su vida ahí.
So he came from a family with political views and on his country.
Which country is that?
Chile. And he just wanted like to kind of escape from that and kind of have like a normal life, you know. So he just wanted to come here just to, like everybody wants to come here for work, to have a better life, for freedom, because that's what the country is. Like, we're here for freedom, but that's what we're trying to do right now, change the system.
Well, welcome. Thank you very much. And just lastly, what is your status now?
I'm still indocumentado. Estoy peleando mi caso de asilo político. En este momento está en apelación. So, tengo que casarme con Michelita. Lo vamos a casar ahora para por amor, obviamente. Pero también si podemos vivir tranquilo y no ser perseguidos otra vez como fui perseguido aquí en este país.
So he says that he is still working on his asylum right now. He's on appealment. Like, unfortunately, it's It got denied, but our next step is that me and Brian are going to get married very soon, just for love as well. Of course, you know, things didn't come out the way that we wanted to. We wanted to get married last year, but then unfortunately he got detained. But we're going to keep fighting until we get what we want.
And your thoughts about the way this country is treating immigrants and the way the right wing mm-hmm. is manipulating mm-hmm. the entire situation to cast dispersion on the immigrant populations.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a U.S. citizen and raised by immigrant families, I was kind of closed up in the dark, you know, not knowing what was going on in the immigration system until, you know, I met my fiance, Brian, and he was telling me about what's been going on in life, in the immigration, how they're mistreating people, and, you know, witnessing myself, hearing everyone's stories, how they're being separated by their family, mistreated like they're animals inside. It just kind of made my eyes open that I'm going to keep fighting for everybody, not just for him, for everyone, including him, the people who are still detained at Essex and Bergen and Elizabeth and everyone else who's still, we're going to end this.
And you are?
Michelle.
Gracias por todo. Who are you?
Yes.
And what brings you to Foley Square for this protest today?
Sure. My name is Frederick Badji. I am an immigrant from Senegal. I came into the United States when I was about 18, 19. I am here today because after being detained for 25 months in immigration throughout the different facilities in New Jersey, and also I've been to Louisiana, El Paso, and Arizona. So I recently been released on the ankle bracelet. I'm here today because I left thousands of my peers that actually are suffering very much, you know, in those facilities. The conditions there are atrocious, dehumanized.
Which facility were you?
Each of the facilities I've
each
been to,
of right?
I've been to Essex County, I've been to Hudson, Bergen yeah. County. The conditions there are very, very, very inhumane. Nobody should be treated like that in a country that's prone to be the land of the free and opportunity. The mainstream that propaganda that estimates immigrants as purposeless and characterless people is not what really is happening, because throughout my entire detention time, I could count in one hand how many people I've met that were detained there based simply on that have a violent crime or violent felony or aggravated felony. Most of them were here because of violation tickets or simply because they didn't have any documents, right? As for me, I've been working in Wall Street for over 7 years. I've worked with all the companies, Citigroup, JP Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, Guggenheim Partners, Bank of America, and I was a senior analyst in Wall Street for many years. I'm here because I want to represent my brothers that are left out there that don't have the voice to cry out to the administration. So we're really here, you know, to support this organization because they're doing a phenomenal job and helping people to really abolish ICE, because there is no excuse to cage people for 23 hours a day, to subject them to such atrocious condition and then expect them to survive there, you know. So I think it's very important that the public opinion really knows what's going on in those detention facility, and that's the reason why I'm here today.
And what brought you here from Senegal?
Well, so I came here to join my family, my mother and my sisters, because my entire family is here. So I was the last one to come because I was finishing school. So I came here with a keen intention of becoming a valuable and contributing member of the United States. You know, I came here nothing but a head full of dreams, hopes, although the systemic discrimination that I was welcomed by, that broke my enthusiasm and my optimism, but I've always been striving to really become a better person, you know. But unfortunately, the systemic exclusion of immigrants and black and brown people, I was victim of it, and that's pretty much what really ruined my life.
And at this point, what's the status of your case?
I have a case pending in the Second Circuit, so I am still fighting because I really cannot go back to a country where I would be prosecuted, because I'm from Senegal and my family, my father's family actually, is very powerful, and they are fighting against the government. My grandfather in Senegal was one of the founder of the MFDC. It's a powerful rebel movement that's been fighting the government of Senegal for over 3 decades now. And I am a direct descendant of all the male leaders there. So I've submitted over 500 pages of evidence, and unfortunately I was denied CAT, so I have been appealing, and right now I'm pending in the Second Circuit.
And so what do you tell people here about the way that immigrants are exploited in every sense,
right,
and then discriminated against,
right,
and used as a scapegoat for the machinations of the political class who wants to build on the DNA of racism and xenophobia in this,
right,
country to propel their own careers forward.
Right.
So what's the lesson for you about the reality of this country's,
sure,
promise of democracy?
Right. I mean, I do think that we have to understand that since the beginning of this country, the lineage of white supremacy have always been reluctant, and they've blatantly been reluctant about really having a racial equalitarian country, right? So I do think that their agenda is to pretty much continue to marginalize, you know, black and brown people, especially immigrants. Now, they first started with the criminal justice system, but because they are seeing now the fierce opposition of, you know, of civil rights movements and activism, they're kind of like directing now their agenda towards a percentage of the population that they think will not trigger much public concern, which is the immigrants, right? And what they do is just pretty much mainstream a propaganda that's going to estimate them as, murderers and rapists and criminals, right? So that way they could generate the public support to build cages, to build prisons where they would warehouse people that they deem to not be citizens, which, in other words, aliens. So I do think that their agenda is to continue to mainstream like this propaganda, but also to supply immigrants to corporate prison corporations who are benefiting from all this, because this is a business. And I'm a fervent witness, because I've been on planes and I've seen how the whole operation of ICE work. They have chained me for over 15 hours on a flight. And I've seen how much flight they have, how much detention center they have, how many detention centers they have, and how everything works out, the whole process. I think it's important that the people know that this is what really are the agenda of, like you said, the fascist government that we are under. And I do think that it all includes Democrats and Republicans, because the oscillation of in government between those two political parties have been going on forever. And I think each political party, whatever promise they make, the moment they get into office, they put their financial interests first, which then leads us to capitalism. Government or the white supremacists, that as a country, as a society, as a nation, we are stronger than the hate and fascism that you guys want to vehicle in this country.
Well, I thank you so much for speaking to us. I wish you all the best in your case. I absolutely stand with you.
Well, I really appreciate your support, and thank you very much for the job you guys did.
So tell me what you're doing here today and what the purpose of this demonstration is.
So the purpose of this demonstration is to bring light to the atrocities that's happening inside immigration detention. I'm a lawyer, and so I'm dealing with these processes every single day, but I'm working within a system that constantly is dehumanizing immigrants. And so what I've noticed is that what really brings change is bringing everyone together and yelling to 26 Federal Plaza that what they're doing is wrong and that they need to free them all. This coalition is so important because we're lobbying the state, we're lobbying the federal government to abolish immigration detention.
But you raised up specifically the issue of women who are held. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so before I came to New York, I was living in South Georgia, and I was working with women in the Irwin County Detention Facility. And that's the facility where women were obtaining or receiving unwanted medical procedures. And a lot of things constantly were happening in that facility. It's a massive facility. It can hold up to 1,200 people. One instance I remember, the women, the Latino women in particular, are being discriminated against by the guards. And it started kind of this animosity in the detention center. So the Latino women staged a protest inside the facility. In retaliation, the guards took their bras and underwear. Women were walking around without bras and underwear for weeks
And it's just obscene. Why? Why are you taking their underwear? That's just dehumanizing.
Was there any complaint filed or was there any action taken against these sadistic guards?
So organizers down there, we filed a letter complaining against this action, but nothing happens. No one cares. What changes things are these big rallies, getting more and more people to understand what it is that's going on in these facilities and using that people power. And you gather enough people, things are going to change. But the letter we wrote, it didn't matter. No one cared.
Absolutely. And the issue today of the demands of this and the continuation of these kinds of demonstrations, obviously abolish ICE. What else do you say to the Biden administration about where we are with our immigration policies and where we should be at?
We need to repeal the 1996 laws, that's for sure. We need to make more people eligible for status in this country. These laws preventing folks from getting status are so arbitrary, and they didn't exist pre-1996 in the way that they do now. We need to get rid of the criminalization bars. There's a 3- and 10-year bar and an inability to get status in this country if you came here without inspection, meaning you didn't come through an airport, you didn't come with a visa through a port of entry. And there's people who are adjustable, they have family here. They would be eligible for green cards if it wasn't for these arbitrary rules. So first we need to get rid of those. And also, these new bills that have been introduced to Congress with their criminalization of immigrants, even worse than the 1996 bills, are completely unacceptable. So it starts with our legislation and really having legislation that is open and aims to document people, not exclude.
And you are?
I am Sophia Genovese. I am a nonprofit immigration attorney. I do not want to affiliate my organization with this.
Well, they should be honored to have you on their staff.
Thank you so much.
Very much for helping put together this demonstration and keeping up the good fight and for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much, honey.
Thanks. You're great.
And what do we want? And deportations. And detentions. Stop ICE transfers from criminal custody. And abolish ICE. This has been Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. Stay strong, stay well, and educate, agitate, and organize for the empowerment of we the people, for another world is possible.